We talked in week one about being a Christ follower, how we're grafted in. Jesus is the true vine and we are the branches. We talked last week about being a Christ follower and trying to follow from a distance and how distance is dangerous. This week we're talking about being Spirit-led. I want us, as it seems like the series ideas that I've come up and God has brought across my path and stuff this year, that we need to be some solid Christians, some solid Christ followers. We need to understand and know the Word and not rely on someone else to help us to figure it out. We need to know who the God is that we serve, and we need to know the power that's in His name. And it's important for us to know the gift that it is that we were grafted into the vine. Not to ever take that for granted, to always remember that at any moment, if we stop bearing fruit, if we stop representing who it is we've been grafted into, that we can be plucked out, that the Bible says that the farmer will come through and he will trim that vine, that plant, that tree for those vines that are not producing fruit. It's important for us to recognize just through the life of Peter that following at a distance is dangerous. And I had to laugh. I asked the youth last week as we was doing service, why is it dangerous to follow at a distance? And one of them just kind of laughed like, well, I mean, that's an obvious answer. And sometimes we as adults, we think, well, you know, we can kind of do this, we can kind of do that. We don't have to read our Bibles every day. We don't have to pray whenever we don't have to come to church. We don't have to. We could just kind of follow at a distance. We can connect ourselves in this way or that. We can call ourselves a Christian. We can live our life most of the time in the way that we know we're supposed to, but all this other time, you know, it isn't really. It's dangerous to follow at a distance. This week, I want to just speak to you on the thought of being Spirit-led. And I have a few just opening thoughts, and I can give you the references for these as we begin this message this morning. But the first thing I want you to remember is that we're saved by grace. That it was God's grace that ever gave us the opportunity to be able to come into a service like this, to hear a message like this, to hear the scriptures being spoken, and it wasn't anything that we did. That's what Ephesians says. It's by grace we've been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. The Bible even says, and I think I've already mentioned this morning in Romans, that we've been given a measure of faith. Every person on this planet has been given a measure of faith. And so no one can say, oh, well, I was raised in this. No one can say, well, I came to this point and I just knew that I had to. We've been given a measure of faith to allow us to believe in a God and look back 2,000 years to a Savior who died and put our faith and our trust in Him, to be able to come and to pray for somebody that they would put their faith in Christ, to pray for somebody that they would be healed, to pray for somebody's situation or somebody's job or someone's family. It's because of that measure of faith that we has been put inside of us. I'm just going to throw a little worldly tidbit in there. I read this week, and I've read this before, and you may have read this as well or heard this somewhere. It takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christian. It takes more faith to not believe in a creator God than it does, because we can just say, we believe. We look at the stories. We have a connection in our spirit. We have the hope of what's going to come tomorrow. And I've said before, I had an atheist friend in high school 150 years ago when I went to high school. And he would always come against me, or he would come up with these questions or these challenges or whatever. And finally, one day I looked at him and I said, okay. I said, so I live my whole life and I'm sheltered. I'm in this box. I believe I'm a Christian. I have to read the Bible. I have to pray. I have to go to church. I have to do all of this stuff. And none of it's real. At the end of my life, I've lived a good life because I'm happy. I've enjoyed life. I haven't held back. I haven't done some things, but I'm still a very happy guy. I've lived my life. It's been full. I've loved other people. I die. I rot away in the grave. No big deal. I said, but if I'm right and you die, then what? It takes more faith. God's given us that measure of faith so that we can trust in Him and believe in Him. Another scripture says that we're only drawn to God through Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is that connection that puts us, Jesus said He was sending a comforter that would remind us of all things to Him, that would always lead us and guide us to all truth. The only way we can be drawn is through the Father, so that the only reason why we're here today is because of God. And so it brings us to the thought, and I'm not even at my opening scripture yet, but from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Zechariah was being reminded by the Spirit that was carrying him around and showing him some visions that there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can do to build a church. There's nothing that we can do to save somebody. There's nothing that we can do to heal somebody. There's nothing we can do to cause anything to happen. It's all by His power, by His might, by His strength. He owns it all. And so we have to come to a place where we understand that we are Spirit-led. It's in this decision that we follow after Christ that we recognize that we're wholly dependent upon God's Spirit's leading us into the next place, into the next thing. And so in Luke chapter 4, reading verse 1 and 2, and it should be a very familiar passage for any of us who have been in church for any amount of time. But the Bible says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. Y'all all know the scene that's happening right here, correct? Jesus has just been baptized. The heavens has opened up. A dove has descended upon him. The voice of God speaks out and says, "This is my son." And immediately he comes out of the water, probably still soaking wet, full of the Holy Spirit, ready to begin to accomplish the thing that God has given him. And he goes on a 40-day fast. Hallelujah. Huh? Isn't fasting an exciting time in the church? Just the thought that we can go 40 days without eating. Hallelujah. Right? Some of y'all are thinking, I wish you'd just shut up so I can get to the crock pot because it's on right now. Jesus has just been identified as God's Son in whom He is well pleased. He's full of the Spirit and He comes up out of the water and that same Spirit leads Him to the wilderness, the desert, to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. He ate nothing. He drank nothing. My first point this morning is while we walk in the footprints of Christ, the Spirit may lead you into places that you might not desire. As a Christian, as a man or a woman of God, you might find yourself in places where you don't want to be. Now, I know that's not the popular message this morning or in today's world because there are so many people that will give you that pat on the back. God loves you. God wants to bless you. I grew up in that era of name it and claim it. And I've said this before, but I've heard more than one occasion of somebody saying, "I want that house, and so I'm going to go walk around this house because this is God said every place that I put my footsteps that He's going to give me." And this is a couple, two people that's walking around a 10,000 square foot mansion, and I'm thinking you really don't want that big of a house.
I went to the Rolls-Royce dealership and I put my hands on that car. Hallelujah.
No, I should have said Ferrari, a Lamborghini or something. Because, I mean, you know, who wants a Rolls-Royce? But everybody wants a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or a Porsche. Sometimes God is going to bring you to places where you don't want to be. Don't ever come to a place in your Christian walk that you think that you're better than Jesus. And I'm not saying, and I've said this, but I'm not saying that God will not bless you, that God will not do something for you, that God will not give to you. I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes we feel like, as a Christian, that we have the right to have whatever we need to have. And there are plenty of people out there that are preaching the message that you are going to be blessed, you're going to be highly favored, nothing's ever going to touch you, you're never going to get sick, you're never going to not have money, you're always going to have all your bills paid, there's never going to be a worry in the world. That's just not reality. Because we're in this world, we're in this life, we have to deal with stuff. There are things that come across our paths, and we look at the life of Christ. He didn't have a place to lay his head. I don't know, the Bible never says anything about clothes or whatever, but I wonder if he went from place to place and somebody would give him a new cloak or a new something that he can wear. And I know Paul, as he went on all of his missionary journeys to different churches, that they gave offerings and gave him gifts as he went to those places, as I'm sure plenty of people have done through time. And so don't think for a moment that you are exempt from that and God has you up in this little bubble house that nobody can ever touch you. The Holy Spirit is going to bring you places from time to time that you don't want to be. It's important for us to recognize that. It's important for our kids to know that. Difficult times will come. We can look through Scripture, and I have a few examples of things. We see some of it in the Bible. We see some of it in Fox's Book of Mormon and through historical things. Peter was hung. We can look at the end of Hebrews chapter 11 and see that some were sawed in half and some were drawn and quartered and some were tortured. And John was thrown into a vat of boiling oil, survived, and then was outcast on the island of Patmos. Joseph had all of those dreams about how all of these things were going to bow down to his. Was sold into slavery, was thrown into prison, was forgotten about before God built him up. Moses had to go and openly confront Pharaoh. How many of you, and I don't want you to raise your hand right now, but how many of you are scared to witness to the person that's right next to you or that you work with or somebody in your family because you fear the backlash of what they're going to say? Well, just imagine Moses had to go to the president and had to openly confront him in front of everybody by himself. Don't think for a second that you are exempt. There are those moments when the Spirit is going to lead us to places where we really don't want to go, where we really don't want to be. The Gideon's army was dramatically reduced. Paul was in prison multiple times, beaten nearly to death. I think at least twice, maybe three times. He was bitten by a viper after he was shipwrecked. I know y'all have read this story and you're going to go back and look it up, but Isaiah was commanded by God for 3 years to walk around naked. I don't want any of you to get any ideas. Hosea was told to marry a known adulterer named Gomer. Noah spent a long time building an ark. What are you going through right now? I think I read just yesterday one of the ladies who wrote a book, a really good book about Christ, his quiet years. She asked the question, what is God trying to teach you in this period of your life in the whispering? What is he trying to teach you while you're going through the hard times? What is he trying to teach you right now as you go through those moments in those places that are not desired? He's trying to teach you something. Through the years of ministry and growing up in church, I can think of many times that God has put me through things. And as I've walked through those moments and those areas and those situations, I thought, what in the world are you trying to do to me? And as a younger guy, you would almost think, are you trying to run me off? Are you trying to test me? Are you trying to see how far you can push me? But as I've gone on and on in ministry and been doing this for a little while now, I recognize God was strengthening me. He was building me up. He was trying to show me some things in the times when I was more vulnerable, so that when I had to really support the entire load, that I'd be able to handle it. What is God trying to teach you in those moments that you don't really desire? Because there's something going on in the background. What about Job? Job wasn't doing anything wrong. God said, hey, you remember my servant Job? While we walk in the footprints of Christ, sometimes the Spirit will lead us into places that we may not desire. And we have to be faithful in those places. But here's a good point. That same identification with Jesus also brings us recognition by our Heavenly Father. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Now remember, we're talking about being Spirit-led, and the first scripture said, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. When you identify with Jesus Christ, you are recognized by your Heavenly Father. What a blessing it is to know that as an identifier of Jesus Christ, that me, no matter what I go through, if I stay faithful, that He sees it. That He claims me. That He's there by my side. He's supporting me. He's watching over me. He's there with me in every situation. I can see my kids from across the store, and I know they're mine. I can hear them talk. I don't know if it's been a little while since I've had to talk to both of them on the phone separately, but there was one point where I had to ask which one was which because they sounded kind of the same, and they're starting to sound a little bit different now. But I know my kids. They claim on Wednesday nights that I don't know my kids because I think Drake and Micah both scream really, really loud at the same pitch. I'm wondering if y'all know y'all's kid. Because I know how mine screams. But I know my kids. That identification of walking with Jesus each and every day gets recognition by the Father. And so as we walk through this life, and as we do the things that He has called us to do, Jesus sees. God sees. We see in the Psalms that He bottles up all of our tears. He knows every hair that falls from our head. He gets it when we can't sleep. He hears the prayers when our family is going through things. He understands when we're pressed because of some financial matter. He sees because the car's not working or because the roof's leaking. He understands the cries of our heart because He loves us. And every one of us that are led by the Spirit of God, we are sons of God. And as a son of God, We have an inheritance that one day we're going to be able to receive. We just talked about the promises of God on Wednesday night. And let me tell you, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to come out if you're not coming on Wednesdays, because we have a great Bible study, a great little meal before, and just have a good time together. But God sees us. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through, and He recognizes those struggles that we have. He sees every step that we take and knows all of the things that goes on inside of us. I love the scripture you've heard me quote before, that He knows our prayers before we even speak them. I try that sometimes with my kids, and probably a lot of times I'm wrong. I try and put in their minds or tell them what they're thinking, and they'll say, no, that's not right. Sometimes I get it right. God gets it right every single time. He knows us inside and out. He knows us backward and forwards. He loves us so much. Sometimes we wonder if the steps that we're taking, if the things that we're doing really mean something. I still remember, was it Salty? Yeah, Salty. You ever seen Salty, the singing songbook? It was the children's little Bible story, and it was a full-size grown man with the big Bible-looking thing. That he was doing a story one time, and he told the kids, whoever wants to be the greatest of all must become servant. You remember Jesus telling the disciples, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve? I believe there's something in ministry that's so important that we miss sometimes, because we have been called to be servants. We have been called to be servants. And so that means whatever it needs to mean for you. I've said before that sometimes we feel like it's somebody else's job because there's a piece of trash in the parking lot. And I've actually had people walk past the trash and come inside and say, hey, somebody didn't pick up trash out in the yard. Why you didn't pick it up? Right? It's your church too, right? Picking up trash, straightening up the church, going and stopping to help somebody because their tire's flat. I see my brother-in-law who lives down in Bayou Gosh, which I think they had rising flood water, but I don't think they really got flooded out at their house. But him and his family and his kids out on the streets in Baton Rouge, and his kids are taking pictures of a road. Yeah, have y'all seen the pictures of down there? It's mind-boggling to see a road and all you see is all of the contents of a house as far down the road as you can see, as tall as what I'm standing. Entertainment centers, beds, TVs, clothes, walls, insulation, everything. How sad of a situation, how hopeless. I was talking to Arthur Robinson, who had got flooded in March right here in Winfield when the waters rose. He told me just a couple of days ago, he said, it's a helpless situation. You just feel empty. And I've wondered, because I grew up down there, I wonder what it would feel like to, because I'm not one that holds on to stuff. I really don't care. And the way that I think in my mind without having gone through it is, hey, I got insurance, I'll just get more stuff. But he said, when you go through that situation, it's hopeless, it's empty. And here's my brother-in-law, Dana's oldest brother, and his family out on the streets serving other people. Here are people whose own homes are flooded, whose own problems are very substantial, and they're at their neighbor's house helping them. There's something in servanthood that we need to grasp. There's something in serving somebody else and putting somebody else before ourselves that we need to grab, that causes us to be recognized by the Father. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. We need to take on that same identification, that same place in life. Saul, think about these people who identified with Christ along the way and how their lives changed. Saul, the zealot, persecuting the church, became Paul, the apostle, who wrote a lot of the New Testament. Simon, the fisherman, became Peter, the fisher of men. Abram, which means the barren, became Abraham, who was the father of many nations. Solomon, who requested wisdom in his new position as king, became the greatest and the richest and the most known king of all Israel. Mary Magdalene, who the Bible says had seven demons that Jesus cast out, became one of his closest followers and was there at the cross, was there at the tomb. What can God do with you if you would surrender yourself and begin to identify with him? Who can he reach in your life if you would just stop worrying about yourself? If I would just stop worrying about John and I would start caring about somebody else, if I would start allowing his spirit to lead me into the next place, into the next thing, into the next opportunity. The spirit can do so much more than us. How many of you want to be identified with Christ? How many of you want to be recognized as God's son, as God's daughter? Come on, every one of us in this place would raise our hands and say it. We need to be spirit-led. And here's the interesting thing. You know, I said last week that it was dangerous to follow Christ at a distance. I believe it can be dangerous to follow the Holy Spirit very closely, because you never know where he's going to go. You never know what he's going to put you in the middle of. You never know the situation that you might encounter. But when you follow after the Spirit, you know that it's God's will. You know that you're doing what he wants you to do, and you don't ever know what opportunity is going to come before you. The last point this morning, walking with Christ, being led by the Spirit, means your life will be anything but mundane or boring. John chapter 3, if you want to hurry up and flip there. I know we're right in the same, in a real close proximity in our Bibles. John 3:8, the Bible says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit of God." A spirit-led man or woman may find yourself in places where you don't desire. A spirit-led man or woman, child of God, will be recognized by our Heavenly Father. And if you're spirit-led, your life is not going to be boring. God will bring you places, will bring people across your path, will do some things with you and through you and in you that you can never come across yourself. I've been in some situations. You've been in some situations. I've heard of some of the things that you've been through, and some of you have given testimony of places you've been, of times you've been able to pray for somebody, of opportunities that you've had. I can think in my mind of walking the streets of Bourbon Street during Mardi Gras as a witness. I can think of times in youth, in church, during plays. I can think of moments at work when sitting down with somebody one-on-one in little storage buildings and there was nobody else to interrupt us, to be able to witness, to pray, to have faith. I can think of times when in a church service, at an altar or at a seat, being able to stand side by side with somebody, and you never know what the Spirit is going to do in your life to cause you to really engage what God has for you in that opportunity, in that moment. Imagine Philip. I don't remember if he was doing anything before this story comes into play. But the Bible says that Philip sees this chariot, and this Ethiopian eunuch is in there, and he's reading the scripture, and the eunuch doesn't have a clue what in the world he's reading. He's just reading it. Philip goes running up alongside the chariot. Hey, do you understand what you're saying? How can anybody understand this? Unless somebody explains it to him. Invites him in the chariot. There they are riding along, sitting together, talking scripture, trying to explain what it is. And he's given the whole gospel presentation of why Jesus came and why he died and why he rose again. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, hey, there's a body of water. Let me go get baptized. Being spirit-led. From hearing to running to sitting to baptizing. And then the next part is really cool. I would love to know exactly what happened in the next part. Because the Bible says that when he baptized him and when the Ethiopian came out of the water, that he never seen Philip again. God had carried him off somewhere else. Wouldn't that be the coolest experience? I don't know. I was in Walmart and I was witnessing with somebody. We closed our eyes and prayed. And the next thing, I opened my eyes up and I was in Alexandria. God can do anything. You believe that? God can do anything. He can create anything. He can make anything. He can think anything. He can do whatever in the world he wants to do. And so, when you're led by the Spirit of God, your life is not going to be boring. Your life is not going to be mundane and the same. It's not always going to be the same old, same old. God is going to do some things in your life that will challenge you, that will stretch you. The Bible says that Saul, who became Paul, who preached on the streets, who was blinded for days, who had the opportunity to preach in churches, he met the apostles along the way, went back and started churches and had people like Timothy and Barnabas who walked along with him, and they was able to experience life and experience the Spirit that was leading Paul in his life, and they had their own ministries. And he was eventually thrown in jail. So he went from persecutor to apostle, to church planner and pastor, to prisoner, with the promise that he was going to speak to the highest authority in Rome. I already said he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, been through so many different things. Will you allow the Spirit to lead you to the next adventure? Are you willing to put yourself out there so that God can do what he wants to do in your life? It might not be, but I've had friends that have been called to other countries. I've known missionaries who have gone, and some of the stories I've already said, they've been poisoned multiple times the amount of what it normally would take to kill a person. They were poisoned and lived, robbed at gunpoint, threatened, stolen from, personally encountered demonic spirits and people face to face. You could see it all. I could go through story. Sometimes you're going to go through things, but I guarantee, and it's something that I've tried to teach my kids, and I tell people whenever they bring stuff, bring situations and stuff out, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. There's no sickness, there's no devil, there's no situation that can ever stand against us that we need to fear, because we have the greatest, strongest authority that's got our back, that's inside of our hearts. All we have to do is speak his word, and there's nothing that can come against us that God has not already preordained to happen in our lives. And so we need to recognize that when we come across some situation, that God is right there. That we have the authority to stand on His Word and to speak to that situation. And the Bible says, if you look at a mountain and say, be removed and cast into the sea, it's gone. No question. And I know some of us have prayed, some of us have trusted God, and we still have to deal with stuff, and we don't understand that. Sometimes we have to wait for God's time, but the reality is, there's nothing outside of God's will that could ever happen to us that we need to be afraid of. And so as we go on a missions trip, as we encounter somebody at work or somebody on the streets, greater is He that's in me. And the thing that I'm getting ready to go face to face with, you know what? I'm just being Spirit-led. The Bible says even in those situations, when I'm faced with something that maybe I haven't faced before, that the Spirit would even give me the words to say so that I can deal with it. God's Spirit is powerful. God's Spirit has authority. His Spirit loves us. His Spirit is the connection of who we are with Him. And He leads us and He guides us. And just like all of these examples that I've already used, what can God do in your life? I can guarantee that these guys and these gals who God called throughout the course of history, from the Old Testament to the New Testament to modern day times, they didn't know everything that was going to happen in their lives. They just knew they found something that made a difference in them. And they were willing to follow after Jesus with everything that they had, and they were going to trust Him with the next step. Are you willing to do that? Will you allow the Spirit to lead you and to guide you in all truth? Will you allow the Spirit to present some situation in this next week that maybe you would not be comfortable with, or maybe you wouldn't seek out, but you know that God wants you to deal with that? I want us to leave this place with a changed heart, a changed attitude, a changed mindset, that we are going to allow the Spirit to lead us. To lead us to pray, to lead us to read, lead us to love on somebody, lead us to witness, lead us to help, lead us to serve, lead us to be faithful. Because people are looking for that today. They're looking for some faithful people. The world is looking for somebody that's just real. Real. And there's nothing more real than a man or a woman being led by the Spirit walking through this life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please.